Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
For the final time in the 2015 season, Jaguars Monday. From the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco down at CBSSports.com studios in Fort Lauderdale. Reaction to the Week 17 loss to the Texans. And the day after here at Everbank Field, clean-out day in the locker room. Gus Bradley speaking with the media. Could there be some changes on defense? And a big day around the league as well. Black Monday actually started Sunday afternoon in some places. And it continues up to this hour. All right, guys, what's up? How we doing?
Hey, Pete, only because it was brought up. Any more jobs going to open up besides possibly the Colts?
No, the Saints situation's interesting.
Yeah, that's the one I'm alluding to. Is the Saints?
But is somebody going to give up a first and a second round pick or a second round pick for?
Yeah, I think someone. I think someone would give up a second round for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
I wouldn't. But
I wouldn't either. But then if somebody else wants him, then the price goes up, right? I mean, if there's two teams kind of competing for him, then the price will go up. The other thing, Tony, is you don't give him personnel control. I mean, this is a guy who had personnel control in New Orleans. Look what he did to the roster. I mean, it's not very good. So I think that's a concern, and he's going to want that. I mean, he's Sean Payton. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Of course he's going to want that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean much anymore.
It's a little sad seeing Tom get the boot today. I mean,
look. Yeah, you know, my guess is how it went. Is after last night, or probably the week before, after they lost and the Redskins won, or whatever the scenario was, where they were out of the playoffs last week. My guess is that Tom decided that he was going to walk in that meeting and resign, knowing that if he didn't want to. I don't think he is such a classy individual. I don't think he wanted to put them in a position where they had to make a difficult decision. My guess is he walked in there and said, "It's time for me to go."
Yeah, and, you know, I thought, interestingly enough, his family was there yesterday. All of them. I mean,
because I think he made the decision before that game ever happened.
Yeah, I would tend to believe.
I don't know any of that. I just think, and I think for the right situation, I think he coaches again.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
I think I don't know.
Well, I mean, listen. I'll say this. If the Colts are idiots and fire Chuck Pagano, which would just be a mistake in my opinion. You don't fire good football coaches, you know, because of one bad year when your franchise quarterback's hurt and your personnel guy is not giving you guys to win with. If I'm Jim Irsay, I'd call Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, but, I mean, what is Tom now, 69?
Almost 70. Pete, but have you seen him?
Yeah,
he has the energy
great.
Of a 40-year-old, and he's in great shape.
He looks fantastic, and he looks great.
I just think he's in a coach. I mean, maybe it's because it's all I know of Tom. What else is Tom going to do?
Well, maybe he gets into some advisory role with a team in Jacksonville or a team somewhere else or whatever. I just think
– I actually don't know if that would be good right away.
No?
No.
Well, maybe he'll take a little time off and you know, spend some time with the family. I mean, this is a guy who's been on the go for 40 years
but
or whatever.
Pete, that's who he is. Well, He's the guy when he got fired and he had the year off. He didn't do TV and all these other things like all these other guys did. He watched tape every day.
You know, and I'll be honest with you. We're at the end of the road here this season, Tony, and you know this too, and so do you, JP. And we grind and we grind and we grind and we grind. And today was like my last studio day here. It was all day, Black Monday, whatever. And you go, you know what? It's done now. Now what? I mean, I'm going to playoff games and I'm doing all that, but it's just like your routine you get into. You get so structured, and you guys know you're in the same boat. And then it ends, right? And you look around and you go, well, now what? Right? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I don't I haven't even talked to Tom. I mean, I shot him a text message, but I don't know what, you know. I just think that's who he is. I mean, he's healthy. I just think the right situation, I could see him doing it. I mean, maybe not. He has 11 grandkids, 12 on the way. Maybe he just hangs out with them. But that's not his style. I mean, even a guy, when he goes on vacation, he can't relax.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Would you, if like the Jaguars brought him in some advisory role, would that be a bad thing?
I would be careful with that right now, only because who he is in this franchise and how he's viewed in this city. Now you have the right head coach to do it because Gus is such a he's secure, he's very confident and very humble, so I think he'd work probably well with it, but I think that put everyone in a tough position, including Tom. This soon. Maybe, I don't know. And here's the other thing, frankly. What do consultants do? hiring these consultants, what do they do? Come on, Pete. You know that as well as I do. And especially a guy like Tom. He's either in charge or he's not. He does it his way. And I just think – I just love when they hire consultants. He's an offensive consultant. He's going to come look into what we're doing. So, really, okay. Well, at some point, somebody has to make the decision whether they're the offensive coordinator, who's the offensive coordinator, who's making the calls, and who's putting the game plan in.
Yeah, he's not going to sit back.
Yeah, I just don't think that works.
Well, what about in a supervisory role in the building,
doing kinda. What?
Give him an office.
Doing what, Pete?
I don't know.
First of all, he'd be miserable. He wouldn't want the job unless he brought value and was doing something. He's not a guy who's just going to come sit in here and, smoke a cigar, kick back his feet on the desk and have lunch and tell old war stories. That's not Tom.
He'll come do radio with us.
We'll get some calls today saying that he should be the head coach of the Jaguars.
Sure, we might.
That'd be hard because we already have one, and the owner said he's not going anywhere.
Right, but we'll get those calls today. Look, I just think Tom retiring is strange to me too. But at some point, Tony, you got to enjoy life and enjoy a little bit of time.
But I think this is what he enjoys, Pete.
Yeah, but does his family enjoy it? You know what I mean? At some point, they made a lot of sacrifices for him over the years. Do they want him? I've talked with Judy before, and she says no, don't let him retire. Joking around, but. I don't know. Whatever it is, if this is the end of his coaching career, the next stop is Canton.
I'll tell you who I'd bring in, who should hire him. The Eagles.
Never happen.
Well, I'm just telling you. Why not?
It just won't. That's how this league operates. You're not going to do it.
Great theater.
Look, I'd love to see the guy coach again, but part of me is thinking, nah, not going to happen.
You think it's over, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I said it earlier. I'll say it here. He is a great coach. A great football coach. But he's a better person. And that's the truth.
And you know what? As a guy who covered him on a daily basis and had wars with the guy, the only thing you could ask for is in this business is a man like that to respect you and you respect him. And when I left, I shook hands with him. I said, hey, Tom, I respect you. And he said, I respect you. And since then, I've gotten to know him even better now as a person. And you're right. He's as good a football coach as he is, he's a great man. And by the way, we did a video today. Tony, you'll appreciate this. He always took a shot at me when I'd show up at the owners' meetings and my wife would be with me or something. He'd go, you should be anointed for sainthood for being with him and, all this stuff he always do. So today at the end of the video, I said, you know what? I said, the only person I really feel sorry for in this is Judy Coughlin because she's got to deal with him. She's got to deal with him being home all the time. So I got one last zinger in at him before he walks out the door.
Very nice. We'll come back in a moment and break down Gus Bradley's comments today. Blake Bortles spoke with the media as well. You can win $4,500 cash to help pay your holiday bills. Go to jaguars.com/holidayHail Mary and register today. Registration ends January 13th. You must be 18 years or older. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Let me give a chance to talk to everybody. Well, I want to talk to them. I want to get the truth is what I want. And I think you say, Gus, you've had all season. Well, I think, a lot of truths I know. But I think one of the things that in my conversations with Dave and Shad is to do due diligence, and to get all the information and really have a strong sense. And so until I do that, I'll respect that.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley earlier today, the day after the 2015 regular season finale, when asked about staff changes possibility. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco, the final Jaguars Monday of the season. Glad you're with us tonight. Well, what do you say, Pete? I mean, you last week we asked how do you start on defense, and you said at the top. Well, that's not going to change. Do you expect what other changes?
What do you mean it's not going to change?
Well, Gus Bradley's staying. He's the head coach.
No, I didn't say to get rid of Gus Bradley. I said there would be something to consider, A and B, but he's coming back. I get that. But they got to decide who they are as a defense, and that means starting with him.
Yes.
And by that I mean, they want to fit into the defense that he wants to play, which is the Seattle defense. And doesn't necessarily mean they have the players to fit into that defense.
Can I say something about this whole Seattle defense deal?
Well, the cover three,
Okay, but guess what? They play a lot of different stuff now this year.
I know. They've changed up a little bit because people figured it out, Tony.
Come on. I mean, it's not like this Gus – first of all, it's Bob Babbage this year, but it's not like the Jaguars sit in cover three every snap.
No, they don't. I understand that. Neither does Seattle anymore because people started figuring out how to play it and attack it, and you got to adapt. I get it. But the whole idea of this corner's got to be this, this guy's got to be a Leo, that guy's got to be this, that guy's got – I mean – You go around the league, Tony. You talk to defensive players and coaches and personnel people and stuff. And at some point, you just go get football players and say, okay,
I agree with that now. Listen, this old measurable junk and all this stuff. I'm like, can the guy play football or not? I mean, at the end of the day, can he play football? Is he a good football player? Does he make plays? You run around, hit people, cause interceptions, make interceptions, block people? I mean, our second-best receiver, by the way, was a guy that had all the worst measurables and didn't even get drafted out of Miami because he wasn't good enough to play in this league, supposedly.
And all he does is work and work and work.
And gets open.
He made himself a good football player.
So, listen, I'm with you there, Pete. I thought it was interesting, the comments, and I only read them because I wasn't at the press conference. Correct me if I'm not wrong, JP, but he was asked if he's going to take over the defensive play calling.
He did not rule it out.
He did not. I thought that was interesting.
That's right.
He kind of said, I'm going to look at everything. I'm going to do what's best for the football team.
That's right.
I thought that was an interesting statement.
My concern there is this. I don't think he's great at the game management part of it right now. So if he takes over the responsibility of being a defensive coordinator, and he could be a damn good defensive coordinator.
He already has been a great defensive coordinator.
Right, but he could be another. I mean, he could even, I think next year if he gets some right players, he can be that again. Does that impact what happens on game day as a head coach? That's my concern there.
And I think that's a fair concern because I mean you see very few coaches that are a head coach and a coordinator.
Now Mike Zimmer does it.
And he does a very good job.
Yeah, and he's got a good defense. He's got a playoff defense, but Gus isn't great in game management as it is, and so to me that would be a major concern if I was out there for him taking over. There's a lot of guys that can coordinate a defense. Now, here's the problem with that. Are you going to get a guy coordinating a defense who's going to come in on basically a one-year deal because the coach doesn't win, he's out. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. So you're taking a chance there. And two, there are guys out there that might be interested in coordinating his defense. They might want to coordinate the defense that they want to play, though.
Well, listen, if you do that, then whoever you hire, you let them do their job. You don't. Otherwise, here are your options. In my opinion, if you're Gus Bradley, keep Bob Babbage as the coordinator.
I think that ship has sailed.
Well, let me just go through the three options. That's one option.
That's one.
Two is you coordinate the defense.
You mean Gus? Yes.
And you do it the way you want to. And those
or
two,
me? Were you talking about me?
No. And okay. In those two scenarios, it's going to be it's going to be Gus's defense basically. Whether you keep Bob Babbage and let him coordinate, or Gus takes over and he coordinates it. Or three, you go hire a defensive coordinator. But if you go hire that guy, you don't tell him to come in and run your system. You let him be the coordinator. That's what you do.
Or four, do you hire from within?
Or you hire
in the system?
Or that would be similar to one and two, because it's going to be a similar structure to what you're already doing. You hire within the building.
Is there somebody in the building?
I think there is.
Names.
I think Todd Wash, the defensive line coach, would be an outstanding defense coordinator.
Because he's a lot like Gus.
I don't know that. I just think he's – in my conversations with him. Now, listen, I like Bob Babbage, too. I think he's smart. So,
Yeah, but Wash is more – Wash to me, and I don't know Todd very well, but Todd comes off to being more of the the energy guy.
No, he is very smart schematically. If you talk,
but is he also an energy guy too, though? Like a little bit.
Different personality than Gus completely. I mean, they're different. I mean, well, I should say completely. I mean, they're different. I don't know how to explain it. Just being around him. So I guess that. I mean, I think he could do it.
Well, they might need an offensive line coach. I mean, Doug Marone's interviewing for a good job.
And I was going to bring that up, Pete. If because you bring up something that's interesting. So let's say. Because you say if you go higher from outside the building, if you decide to make the decision on Bob Babich, which I don't think is a foregone conclusion, by the way. I don't. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Nobody's told me that, but I get the feeling that that might be the case.
So I don't know that. And I like Bob, and I'm rooting for him. Friend. So, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, but you know the business side.
I understand that. No, I'm not. I get it.
Proof's in the pudding.
I get that. And the defense hasn't been good enough. And somebody's in – the blame's going to go somewhere. But you bring a good point. If you hire without outside the building, let's say, can you find a quality defensive coordinator who's willing to come in on a one-year contract?
Or is he a calculating guy and he figures he comes in on a one-year contract and he might be the head coach when they blow it out?
But let me ask you this. Let's flip the sides of the ball. If Doug Marone gets a head job, and he's rumored for every single one out there, by the way.
Which is surprising to me, by the way. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, I disagree. After what he did in Buffalo?
Yeah, what did he do in Buffalo?
A bad football team with no quarterback and won 9 games.
And that is what? What does that get you?
I mean, he wasn't getting fired if he doesn't leave.
What's he done with the offensive line in Jacksonville? Has it got any better?
Well, they gave up 70-some-odd sacks last year, and they gave up 50-some-odd this year, so he improved by 20.
They gave up 20 yesterday?
Yeah, and yesterday was bad. 8. I'm just saying this. Let's say he does get one of the jobs. Look at the candidates out there. You're telling me he's not – I mean, if you're betting money, would you say he's going to get a job?
Well, I think if Sean Payton goes somewhere, I think he's got a real shot to get the New Orleans job.
I mean, I've heard – yeah, so wherever. So let's say he does get a job. And this isn't a conversation about that more than anything. The conversation I want to have is, can you get an offensive line coach to come in here, a good offensive line coach, for a one-year deal?
Well, there might be guys looking for work, too.
No, but I'm talking a quality guy.
Well, all the staffs that just got blown out. I mean, those guys are all going to be looking for work.
Oh, not always. A lot of times, top assistants, the team doesn't let out of their contracts.
No, but...
When you fire a head coach, Pete, you don't fire the whole staff all the time.
Right. Those
guys are still under contract. And right, guess what? If you want them.
But the new staff comes in, they want their own guys.
Not always. Not when it's a top guy. Go look at the top top assistants.
Jerry Sullivan's still here from the previous regime.
But top assistants, and guess what? Good offensive line coaches are the most coveted of the group.
Well, look what Bill Callahan's done with the Redskins' offensive line.
That's my point. I'm just saying. Yeah. And I think Doug's done a good job. I mean,
well, really? Well, okay, he might have done a good job, but have they really got that much better, Tony?
They're better than last year,
Pete. Okay, but they paid money for a right tackle. Okay.
He got hurt the last two games.
They had a veteran center for the first time in a while, right?
Okay. Their best offensive lineman got hurt week 3.
Who's that? Linder.
Linder.
Okay, but you also had a right tackle you paid a boatload of money to.
Who played all right, Pete?
Right, but. Okay, did the line play that much better?
I was wrong, and you were wrong at the beginning of the year when we said this could be a top 10 line. I admit it, I was wrong. But if you're asking me, were they better than last year? Yes, they were better than last year.
Well, I didn't say it was going to be a top 10 line.
We had the conversation. Okay, I did.
Well, nothing could ever be a top 10 line with Zane Beatles in it. It's just impossible. I would never have said that.
Okay, I said it.
At least you're consistent, Pete.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would never sit here and say
I said it. I was wrong.
Okay. Now, Jokel.
It was disappointing yesterday.
He stunk. No, he stunk.
When I say disappointing, I don't know what else. I mean, it was awful.
It's the worst game of his career.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Terrible.
And that has to be a major concern.
You know, Whitney Merciless has like 11 and a half or 12 sacks, and like 6 of them are against. Five of them are against Luke Jokel.
He's got 12 and a half, and he abused him for 5, yeah. I mean, so that's bad.
And he's not that good a player, in my opinion. He's good.
He's
not
better.
Great.
He's improved.
Hey, but he ain't great, bro.
No, but he's improved.
I don't care if he's improved.
He has three sacks over.
I've improved, and I'm still not very good at anything I do.
He's not three sacks per game good, but he's improved a lot. Their defense has improved a lot.
Their defense is very well. I mean, but played very well, I should say.
You know why? Because Andre Howe is playing better.
The secondary is very good. That's why I like. We'll get into all this. I heard all the people on Twitter and all the call-ins and everything. It's like, terrible coaching. They should have max protect. Well, guess what? They did a few times. And, yeah, Blake had time. But that secondary, if you run two guys out in the cut route, they're going to be covered.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Kevin Johnson's
yeah, they're good.
Become a good player. Bernard McKinney's become a good player.
Yeah, they're good, man.
They got a good defense.
But I'm so, I got – I don't
okay,
wanna...
but the offensive line, has it get better from a year ago?
Yes.
Slightly.
No, I disagree with that.
No. I mean, it's not that much better. But not having Linder hurts them. How many of those guys on the offensive line next year will be in the starting positions they are end of the season? Next year when the season starts, how many?
Four.
Whoa.
Not well, I'm four. Including Linder.
Okay, well, Linder will be one.
Linder can. Parnell, Jokel.
Jokel.
That's four, Pete.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Well, you count Linder. I'm talking about the end of the year, but so.
Well, Linder, I mean, he's a starter.
They need to get a center. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean.
Or is the center on the roster and he just doesn't, like Bowanko or
possibly.
Somebody?
I'd go, or Shatley. I'll tell you this. And I've gotten killed on this show, on every show, on Twitter, because of my defense of Luke Jokel. And I love the kid, and I still believe he can be a good player. But I'll tell you what, training wheels are off. It's time. I mean, listen, sooner or later you got to go do it. And what's frustrating for me about it, it's technique. It's things that he can, but he continues to make the same mistakes.
And he sooner drops or later, his head. Yeah, he drop his head.
Doesn't use his hands. Drops his head. Sooner or later, you got to fix it. Otherwise, you can't play. And I still think he can be a good player. I still believe in him. And I know I'll get killed for that. But yesterday was awful. And this whole year, he was way too inconsistent.
For you to say that it's time to take the training wheels off, that's Vaselli speak for he isn't playing well.
We'll come back and delve into that a little more and discuss the play of Blake Bortles this season as well. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Why it's so important, the continuity. If he can understand now the same offensive scheme, the same concepts, and he can own that, I think the challenge for him is to take even another step in command of the offense, you know, to change the tempo, to do some different things. You know, that's what you see some of the more experienced quarterbacks in the league do, and I think that's really, you know, kind of the stride we want to make sure we take a step in that direction.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley earlier today discussing his quarterback, Blake Bortles, and the next step for him in this offseason. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday for the final time in the 2015 season. What do you think, Pete? The next step for Blake Bortles, he said he's not going to go out to California as long this time with the throwing guru, Tom House, and all that. He'll spend a little more time here with his guys off to the side, which is a good step, I suppose.
I don't mind that because he went last year to try and fix his mechanics and fix all the little things, and I think he fixed the little things. Now it's a matter of fixing the big things. There's a lot that he has to get better at, and one of those is little things like throwing the fade. I mean, that's got to become a part of their offense, and it's not. They got to throw the fade. They got big receiver, got a big tight end, got to be able to throw the fade, and so I think he's got to work on those kind of things. Last year it was more of getting the motion, getting the mechanics, getting the footwork down. Now you expand that and work on the things that you can't do very well. And one of those is to throw the fade. So I think that's a step for him. And you do that by throwing with your guys. And if he can throw with his guys, I think that's a good situation for him.
I agree, Pete. Throwing with the guys is important. Learn to throw the fade, he'll figure that out. That's not really a concern of mine. It needs to happen. Pete's right. What he has to do, let me say this, what I'd like to see him do, if he wants to progress to the next level, he needs to master the offense and master what the offense gives him based on the looks he sees in coverages. So when he gets to the line of scrimmage and he has this play called and they're in cover two or they're, you know, in four or six, whatever covers they're in, he understands exactly what they're trying to do to him, and so he knows where to go with the ball before the snap. That right. is the next step of what he
right.
needs to do.
A lot of the stuff he does now,
he just does reaction.
Right.
Right now, he's in his master's program. He needs to graduate from the master's program and start his PhD. He won't be a doctor next year, but he needs to get in the PhD program of understanding
example.
Exactly what Greg Olsen wants him to do and what the offense dictates and where the coverage is and what he does with the ball quicker. Because he's got
to
get the ball
high to low. And, you know, now you see him, he reads high to low. And when he gets to the low, gets to the high, stays on the high too long, he doesn't know that the low is there and available, and he can make that throw.
Because there were 50-some-odd sacks this year, whatever they were, whatever the final number was, 8 yesterday. He needs to get, 10 to 15 of those are on him this year.
Yeah, but also 10 to 15 that he avoided.
Not that many, Pete. I'm just saying this. He needs to make quicker decisions.
Yes.
And so the ball gets out quicker. That's what the great – and I'm not being critical of Blake. I mean, the jump he made from year one to year two is a complete success this year for him. He was successful this year. He did what we asked him to do and more than we expected him to do. He was fabulous this year for a second-year quarterback. But the next step is that ball has to get out quicker, and the quicker decisions need to be made, and that will be based on pre-snap reads of knowing exactly what the defense is giving him.
Yeah, pre-snap reads, ball out, read the fields, get off your first read quicker. I think that's something that he needs to be better at. He stays sometimes too long on the receiver. But all that is, you got to remember, it's still a second-year quarterback. I mean, that'll come. That will all come for him.
We'll see in time if it does. We'll take a timeout, and we'll take a look at the injury report. Not much released today in the form of injuries. One notable wide receiver is going under the knife, though. In the next week or so, we'll also take your calls in the second hour tonight. It's the final edition of Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Are we close? I think what I like about our team is that we built it through the draft. We've added good free agents, but we've set ourselves up with salary cap wise in the draft to add another. I mean, if we had 12 of the 15 guys, make significant contributions, and if you can do that again this year, you can get better faster.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, when asked about the expectations coming up next season.
Oh, that's easy. You got to be 9-7 or better next year.
9-7, you said.
9-7?
Or better.
They got to win the division.
Mm-mm.
They got to win a division,
Tony. No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Well, they don't. If you're 9-7, Pete, and which is a lot of years as a wild card team, and you get in the playoffs, you're not getting fired.
What if they go 9-7 and don't make the playoffs?
I still don't think you're getting fired.
Boy,
if you're contending at the last week for a playoff spot,
I'll tell you what, I think they got to make the playoffs.
I think they got to be 9-7 or better.
I think they got to make the playoffs.
All right. So you need. I mean, that means you need to win 10 games then.
Well, yeah. You really think if they went 9-7 and missed out on the playoffs, they bring Bradley back?
If both sides of the ball, if the offense continues to improve and the defense substantially better, I do.
Boy, I don't. I don't at all.
Okay.
I disagree with you 100%.
That's fine. Bottom line is that the expectations are, Pete says make the playoffs, so as a wild card or a division winner.
Most likely win the division.
So you think if they win 9 games and get in the playoffs as a wild card, he's fired?
If he gets
– Wait, no, answer the question. If he wins 9 games, Pete, and they're a wild card team, they're the 6th seed, and they get in the playoffs, you think Schott will fire him?
Depends on the circumstances.
You're out of your flipping mind.
It depends on the circumstances.
Pete, you're an idiot. I mean, sometimes I respect you and I love you and I think you're great at what you do. I really do. I'm
That's
not just
nice
saying
of
that.
You.
I do. He's an outstanding writer.
That's really nice.
Pete was a great beat writer, and his stuff's great now on CBS, whatever it's called. It changes his name every day.
CBS Sports.
Sports. He's outstanding. But sometimes you say some idiotic things, and that was one of the dumbest. That if this team's in the playoffs next year, I don't care what seed they are, that you think that Gus still could get fired with his staff.
Okay. Do they get in as a wild card because the division – you know what I mean? You got to look at the circumstances. Here's another thing.
Well, if they get in as a wild card, Pete, that means they're the sixth best
I mean, there are other circumstances where what happens if they went 9-1 to open the season and something, God forbid, happened to Blake Bortles and then they didn't make the postseason? Would that end this? Should that end up in a firing?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't either. So
but my point is, let's not think about that. I'm just saying, Pete, if they make the wild card as the sixth seed at 9-7, you think they're going to fire him?
No, probably
okay,
not.
Okay, thank you.
But I still think he needs to win the division because 9-7.
No, you don't. No, wait a second. Now you're talking. You're doing what I do sometimes. You're talking. You're saying both things to cover yourself. He either at 9-7 makes a wild card. You either think he keeps his job or he's fired.
So he goes 9-7, makes the wild card, gets blown out in the wild card game. Does he still come back?
Yes.
Well, Chip Kelly made the playoffs 2 years in a row,
but it was a disaster in the front office. It was a disaster this offseason. It was a disaster this season.
Okay, so let's playoffs or bust.
Yeah, that's what I did. Okay.
Can we just go through that?
You said 9-7 and not make the playoffs, and he would be back at first.
I think he would, but I'll concede my point. I'm conceding that I think if he's 9-7 and makes a wild card, he's back no matter what. If they're in the playoffs next year, he is back as the head coach. That's the expectation.
9-7, now, it not could make be, the playoffs, he's back as a head coach.
Yeah, now it could be one of those years you go 11-5 and don't make the playoffs, I still think he's back.
Yeah,
Some of those years where you're 11-5 and the division winner's 12-4.
We also got to look and see what they do in the offseason before we sit here and say, you know, what they're going to do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think they should win the division next year. That should be the fans' expectations. That should be the expectations of the people in the building. They should win that division. And I say that because of this. They got $60 million to spend, and they'll spend some of it. They got Fowler and Marks coming back. They draft a bunch of guys, okay? And they sign a few free agents on defense. To me, that should improve the defense. Maybe they have a new coordinator. Maybe Gus takes over. Who knows? The offense needs to grow in the little bitsy things there, here and there. Get a center. Grow everybody around them. They haven't played together, a lot of them, the entire year. And so, to me, the expectations shouldn't be 9-7 in a wild card. The expectation should be to win the damn division. Who's good in the division? The Texans won playing 4-5 quarterbacks.
Our defense is good, and it's all going to be back.
Is the offense any good?
No.
Is Indianapolis situation any good? I know Andrew Luck's coming back, but has that team got any talent? Who the heck knows what's going on with the front office and the coaches?
Yeah, but let me ask you. I think Tennessee could make a big jump with Mariota.
New coach there too, maybe.
Yep. What if Houston goes and finds a veteran quarterback, like a Fitzpatrick type of situation?
Don't they have that?
No, they don't have a guy who had any type of year close to Fitzpatrick.
Was awful Fitzpatrick last week. Didn't Fitzpatrick become Fitzpatrick yesterday?
No, he was bad last week.
I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes Fitzpatrick becomes Fitzpatrick. I mean,
if Houston had Fitzpatrick all year, they're an 11-win team. That defense?
Maybe. You got to remember, Tony, too, that defense wasn't very good.
Early, the first six games, they weren't.
Yeah, right. They grew up a little bit. Now, see how the Texans' defense grew up? That's what the Jacksonville offense will do next year. It won't be five games in. It will be one game in. They will make the step. The Texans defense made the huge step because the young players all grew up and rallied around each other and mixed in with the veterans. Next year, that's what Jacksonville's offense will do. I don't think you have to worry about the offense. I think the offense is going to be the best offense in the division next year.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I worry about the defense because I think you need a lot of pieces.
But there are guys out there now. I mean, you know, we keep mentioning.
Pete?
Okay, you keep mentioning Malik Jackson. Denver can't keep Von Miller, Malik Jackson, Danny Trevathan. Can't keep them all.
I agree with that. Okay, but here, let's just play this scenario real quick. And we have 1 minute to do it.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think Malik Jackson and Trevathan are probably going to be free because they're going to empty the bank to keep Von Miller. They're going to get some cap money freed up, the Broncos we're talking about, because Peyton Manning's not coming back. So they're going to have some cap room. They'll spend it on Von Miller. They're not going to keep. They can't keep Malik Jackson and Danny Trevathan. I don't think. I don't think there's any way. So let's say those two guys are free. You know, there's going to be 30 other teams also that would like those guys. Or I mean, not all 30, but it's not like Jacksonville's the only team with free agent money and is going to be going after those guys. So you have to win the bid.
I get it. But go win the couple bids.
Okay, but it's no guarantee is my point, Pete.
No, I understand that. But there's other guys out there, Bruce Irvin, Olivier Vernon. Look, you could go 18 down the defensive ends list and you'd be better than anybody that they got on their team right now. I mean, it doesn't mean you go throw away stupid money at them, but they need to get bodies. I mean, William Hayes is a veteran defensive end. I wouldn't give him a boatload of money.
Let's do this. Let's go to break, and then let's come back and talk about this and dig into it, because I got some thoughts on it and probably will lean towards more your thought process, which is shocking.
And I also want to bring up in the next slide, I know we're going to break on, I guess there was a Pete Prisco kind of incident yesterday in the locker room, huh?
Oh, there was.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I was there for that. I would have had a good time with that. I miss like the old days.
It should be entertaining when we come back. Stick around. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
From the HennanyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, the final edition of Jaguars Monday for the 2015 season. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Prisco.
Are we starting the podcast after this, Pete?
Ooh, good question.
Don't know if I can. Well, I'll check on it.
How long has this been?
Months we've been talking about this.
I mean, give me a break, Pete.
A lot of red tape down there.
Pete, remember, if it's good for you, it's good for you. You can make more money.
How are we going to do it? You got the logistics of it?
Yeah, Joe's going to produce it for free.
For free.
See?
Free.
Where do you do it? Where do you do it? What studios do you do it in?
We'll do it right here.
Yeah, we got microphones.
We got mics right here.
How do you put it up? Who's putting it up? Do you know how to put it up, Tony? Do you know how to do all that stuff?
Joe knows how to do that.
Joe's smart.
We'll do it.
We'll think about it.
We can get CBS to put it up on their site.
We could just come to your house, Pete.
You don't think CBS put it up on their site after we have like a million followers?
No, because we have a podcast on here already.
Ours would be better, Pete. That's the point.
Well, anything I do is going to be good, but that's okay.
Yeah.
He's humble, too.
Yeah. Tony, you're angry today, I see.
Yeah. I am. Just wait till we open the phone lines, 355-NFL-1.
We didn't go through grades either.
No, we will.
Today.
No, we will. That's,
no, there's no reason
that.
To.
Let's start off. Sure there is.
It's all.
You know why we want to this week? Because if they graded somebody really well, I want to see you go off on them.
Let's get to the quick injury report.
Oh, come on.
We'll get to – hang on. One person.
Come
today.
On.
Alan there's no Hurd. Injury report.
No,
they'll play next
it's
week.
It's done. He's go. Stop the music.
Sports hernia surgery.
Okay, great.
6 to 8 weeks he'll be out.
Congratulations. Great.
That's all I got. And all the rest of them will be announced tomorrow.
Great.
With Dave Caldwell. Okay. It's
Alan Hurns will be fine.
Are you happy? Jeez.
He'll be fine.
Pro Football Focus, Pete. What you got?
What do you? Which
you
one
grades?
You want first?
Let's start with the offensive line.
Okay, offensive line. Who was the worst?
Jokel.
Not even close. Yep, 7.0. That's one of the all-time worst minuses.
Who? Jokel?
Yeah, 7.1 pass protection.
Yeah, he was the
worst. Beatles.
Big negative.
Big negative. Sam Young.
Negative, but not as big.
Good. Very good. Minus 1.1.
Yeah, because you know what? Everyone was killing Sam Young, but after that, he got beat early.
Early, and then he recovered.
But guess what? I turned on the tape. Everyone's like, we can't block him 1-on-1. Well, Sam Young blocked him 1-on-1 a bunch.
A.J. can.
I thought A.J. played fine.
Slight minus. Bad run block minus.
He had a couple. It wasn't his best day, but he was fine.
Wisniewski.
I put him at the same point as A.J.
He's the only one in the green. He's in the green.
Yeah, I'd put him at 0.
Okay, he was positive.
Yeah, I'm not going to quibble about that.
The passing game, Blake was a negative. Denard Robinson was a negative.
Yep.
Jonas Gray was a positive.
I agree.
Actually.
You know what? Jonas Gray, you always make this point. You can find guys. Jonas Gray is a guy who can be a number two with T.J. Yeldon. He's not a bad back at all. I love the way the guy runs.
Everybody, Allen Robinson was slight minus. Mercedes Lewis was positive in the pass game and slight positive.
Because he had that one big pass.
And everybody else, that's it. Okay, let's go to defense. Was there anybody as a positive on defense?
I thought Roy Miller played well.
Bingo. He's a high positive.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Roy Miller, now he's getting older, I get that. Roy Miller played great football this year. I mean, great football. Roy Miller was outstanding this year.
He had a little lull at the end of the season before last week.
But he played outstanding all year.
He's healthy all year too. That helped.
Yeah, and he's he was born in 87, so he's what, 20, 30, what is he, 30 something? Yeah, he's getting up in the years, isn't he?
He's born in 87, so
no, let me see what it says.
He's 28 right now.
He's 28. That he was born in 87.
So he's 28. A couple more years.
28.
Yeah, I mean he can play.
If they get good on defense, he should be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. The way he played this year, are you kidding me?
All right, one other guy graded positively.
Oh boy,
on defense.
I don't know.
Hayes Poulard.
In the run game, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pass game, he's just. He's a Mike linebacker, first and second down.
All right, so here's how Andre Branch got the worst grade of anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Sergio Brown got the second worst grade of anybody.
Whatever.
John Cyprian got the third worst.
Yeah,
Cyprian got the.
I would have guessed he would have been tied with Branch for the highest.
He got trucked that one time.
That was more
than
just.
That's about nobody else. Odrick was minus in run defense.
How about Clemens?
Clem had a couple nice rushes.
Clem's a minus in both. Well, pass rush wasn't so minus, but run game he was terrible.
Were terrible. They gave up, you know, like 160 yards rushing or whatever it was.
Michael Bennett had a slight positive.
He'll be a good rotational guy. He's a guy.
And Aaron Colvin had a slight positive.
He's a good nickelback.
And House was positives, believe it or not.
No, I disagree.
So yeah, so okay, let's go through this guys real quick. Odrick, back next year?
Yes.
Roy Miller, back next year?
Absolutely, yes.
Tyson Alualu, back next year?
He'll have to win a job in camp.
Branch?
No.
Posluszny?
Yes.
Ooh, really?
First and second down, Mike, linebacker.
Ooh, I would look to replace him. That would be me.
I think Paul Posluszny can still play the run very well, and I think if you find another fast backer as your Sam or your Otto, and then on nickel, it's Telvin and that other backer. Puz is left. Is back. I don't think you want Paz. You don't want Paz as your third down nickel back.
All right. Poulard, is he back?
Yes. Backup.
Nick Marshall.
He's going to have to win a job in camp.
Cyprian.
Yeah, they'll let the contract play out, and it's a contract year for him next year, and see what he does. But he'll have to fight for a starting job.
Evans.
He'll have to fight for a job in camp.
House.
Yes.
Colvin.
Yes.
Ryan Davis.
Because he's a core special teams guy, I would say yes.
Bennett.
Yes.
Clemens.
No.
Hell no. Scuda.
Depends what you do in free agency and draft with the back.
He's gone. He hasn't done anything. Gone.
Okay. He'll be in
gotta
camp.
Got to get more athletic and faster. Grotz. Goodbye.
He'll have to fight for one of the roster spot in camp.
Sergio Brown.
No.
So,
James Sample.
A lot of guys back.
There's not a lot of guys back.
No, it's a lot of turnover.
Yeah. How about on offense? Everybody back except for Beatles, Wisniewski. That's about it. Everybody else will be back, right? Does Mercedes come back? Yeah, you give him a small deal if he's going to stick around and be the second tight end, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, their free agency has killed them this year.
Say that again now.
Their free agency hasn't helped them this year.
I think Odrick helped them in the run.
Not for that money, he didn't.
Well,
but maybe they would use him a different way. He would get some penetration.
He had 5.5 sacks this year.
Yeah, he's not a pass rusher, though. You know that.
I agree with you, but he had 5.5 sacks.
Couldn't he slide inside and do it and be better at it?
I mean, you'd rather have Derek Marks as your three technique.
All right, so he didn't do anything.
About House?
Wisniewski was a disappointment. It's only a one-year deal, but he's still a disappointment. Parnell?
I think it was good. He's good, solid right tackle.
Solid right tackle. House?
For what you paid, I mean, yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, he broke the record of pass breakups for the franchise. He had the most pass breakups ever.
Scuda? No good.
So
not a good free agency class. But could have been a lot worse. You know how it could have been worse? Could have ended up with Randall Cobb or DeMarco Murray.
I still contend if DeMarco Murray was in this system, he'd be a lot better than he was in Philly.
Yeah, you might be right. But so they got a lot of work to do, and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna get into some of that in the second hour. I know Tony hates that, but now the season's over, you can get into it. We'll talk about some of those guys who they need to go get and maybe focus on.
All right,
let's get to some calls. Phone lines open 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We start this evening with Brian in East Arlington. What's up, Brian?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
You know, my question is, you guys ask if Gus will stay. He's 9-7. My question is, will Gus be gone if he goes 1-6, 1-7? Are they going to blow him up mid-season? Because I have a feeling we have a lot of core guys, and I think we have a decent team. I just don't think Gus can get it done, and I just think he's going to blow it up and be gone early. I don't want that to happen, but that's just my feeling. And what do you guys think? I think he's gone early if he goes, if he comes out the gate and doesn't start well.
I'm not big on firing coaches in the middle of the year because I don't think it does anything for you.
If they're 1-7, he's gone.
Okay, but I'm just saying I'm not going to talk about it because I don't think it means anything. I don't think firing a coach in the middle of the season, basically you're scrapping the entire year.
Yeah, it doesn't. It usually doesn't work, Tony.
When has it ever worked, Pete?
No, it doesn't work. But if they're 1-7, he's not going to be the head coach anymore. You know that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go 1-7, so it's a mute point.
Okay. Jason in Julington Creek. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. First of all, people criticize Caldwell, but that 2014 draft has four Pro Bowlers on it, if you count Hearns, possibly five if Lee ever stays healthy. And one quick other thing, guys, is a third-generation Trojan Station, Jacksonville, Mr. Buscelli. It's an honor. And the most important question is, we beating Alabama September 3rd in Dallas?
Right now. Right now, I'm trying to believe the best I can, but we got to do a lot of work, and it'll be interesting to see who Clay Helton hires as his defensive guys and his offensive line coach, all important hires. So, if you look at drafts for Dave Caldwell, the 13 draft, you're not getting the production out of it. Now, it was an awful draft, and historically, you talk to anyone around the league, and this is not just me making an excuse, and Pete, back me up on this unless you disagree. It was one of the worst drafts in the history of the NFL.
Pathetic.
And so it is what it is. But you're not getting the production out of the guys that you need out of that draft.
No, it's a bad draft. It was a bad draft all the way around.
Yep. 14, that draft class is very good.
Right.
It was a great draft.
If you kill him for 13, you got to praise him for 14.
You go through the 14, he hit on almost every draft, every pick. 15, the rookies this year. It's always too early, but I think it's a pretty good draft this year. Yeldon, good player. You don't know about Dante Fowler, so it's not fair to judge that. Yeldon's a good pick. Third round, AJ Cann, starter. If you can draft a starter in the third round, that's good. Who was the fourth round pick?
Rashad Green,
great. He was a fifth round pick. Sample, too hard to judge. Rashad Green in the fifth round is a steal. Outstanding punt returner and is going to be a very good slot receiver. Sixth round, Michael Bennett. You get a rotational guy that can play. I mean, he's shown flashes this year. Outstanding job. And seventh round, Neil Sterling's on the team.
Koyak has been on the practice squad.
I mean, you just hope for a practice squad guy, get what you can out of the seventh round. So too early to judge on 15, but I think preliminary reports after their rookie year, it's too bad you lost Dante Fowler. That's not controllable. James Sample injury, not controllable. But 14 was great, and 15, I think, has a chance to be really good.
Yeah, I like their 14 draft. The 15 draft has potential. The 13 draft right now with a big, fat F.
Hard. I'm not
the second pick of the draft, and he's a turnstile. That's a problem. You get, the top of the second round, you get Cyprian, and he's a liability. You get... who else came in that draft?
Who's playing well out of that 14 draft? Out of the 13 draft, besides
the guy, besides
Onsa. Okay, besides Onsa. But you talk to personnel people around the league. There was a lot of people questioned whether you could take that guy because of the limited time he had at BYU.
Right, it was a risk. There were also some people who were concerned about how old he was.
Yeah, people thought he might be a lot older than he said he was because birth. Certificate records.
Well, you go through the first round. Eric Fisher starting but not playing well.
He's not good. No, he's
Deion Jordan's not even in Miami.
So
anymore.
I mean, is Fisher
Lane Johnson? Nah.
Okay.
Barcavius Mingo.
Terrible.
No. Cooper. Jonathan Cooper, he's starting, but he's not.
No.
Tavon Austin, he hasn't lived up to the hype.
No.
D. Milder, no. Chance Warmack, no.
Nope.
Fluker, no.
Nope.
Hayden, no. Sheldon Richardson, there's one.
Okay.
But he's in the program, so you got to star Lutulilis as.
Is he a stud, though?
Yeah, he's really good.
Okay.
Yeah, he's.
Yeah, okay, good. So
Vaccaro, no. E.J. Manuel, that's kind of laughable. Jarvis Jones, no. Eric Reed, starter, decent player. Justin Pugh.
Is he better than Ciprian at strong safety?
Yes.
Okay.
He is.
But he, okay.
Pugh?
No.
No. Kyle Long, yes.
Not at tackle. He did not have a good year at tackle this year, Pete.
No, but he's a good, they put him out there because they, you know.
Okay,
what I mean?
But I'm just saying. So, but you're going to take an offensive guard second overall, Pete?
No.
Okay. So
Tyler Eifert, yes.
If they would have drafted Tyler Eifert second overall, people would have killed
him. But we're not talking about – I'm talking about the draft itself,
yeah. Okay,
Tony.
So far you've named three or four good players.
Trufant, yes.
Okay.
Sharif Floyd, yes. Bjorn Werner, no. Xavier Rhodes, yes. Dayton Jones, no. Here's one that would have been pretty good. DeAndre Hopkins.
Where was he drafted? What pick?
27.
Yeah.
Sylvester Williams – for the Broncos, solid player inside, not a great player. Travis Frederick, center. They could
Very
use him.
Good.
They could have used him.
Or you wouldn't pick him second overall.
No. But so, the, yeah.
And,
I mean, that,
and you couldn't trade. No one wanted to trade in that draft. I mean, there was nothing.
I mean, and but you look around.
The back half of that draft, the first round, is way better than the top half.
But, they draft Ciprian at the top of the second round. They could have drafted Darius Slay, who's playing well for the Lions. Okay, but then I look at the rest of that draft, the rest of that round. Kawan Short, there you go. He's a pro bowler for the Panthers, second round.
What position?
Defensive tackle.
D-tackle,
he's a beast.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell. Hankins, good player for the Giants.
Le'Veon Bell, that would have been a good pick.
What's that?
Le'Veon Bell would have been a good pick.
Who else? I'm going through. Jamie Collins, 20 in the second round.
There you
Love
go.
Jamie.
That's the guy you wanted.
Right there.
Dave, dang it. But my point is, it's slim pickings.
Yeah, it wasn't a great draft. No, it was not. Kelsey in the third. They drafted Kelsey in the third round. And then, you look around Grotz, because they drafted Grotz with the second pick of the third round. Honey Badger at seven, but they couldn't take him.
That's my point. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Armstead went in the third round. He's a pretty good player.
Yep. For the record, Tony, Bama's going to destroy you guys next year.
They play next year, huh?
Yes, 16. Week one, September 3rd.
When was the last
Jerry
time those
World.
Two teams played?
Oh, long gosh. Time ago.
70s, maybe.
Yeah,
right?
Late 70s, probably.
Was it the 79 game when I was at – when they played for the – when the ASU would have USC beat Alabama on the road, and they split the national title, ASU beat USC the week later?
Yep.
Is that the last time they played?
Might be. There
oh,
might
my
be
God.
One in the 80s, but I can't remember. I don't think so. We're going to be there in person to see it, too.
I don't know. Florida State plays Ole Miss that same day.
Was you backing out?
Well,
we talked about it for 2 years.
Here's the thing, JP. My
son's
going to Florida State.
I don't care. Get your priorities in order, man.
He'll be a redshirt next year.
That's what I'm saying.
Won't
he's not
going
to play.
I don't know. He's going early. What if he has a great spring and is playing? I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how good he is.
Unreal. We'll talk about this in
I mean, what
break.
Would
you
expect,
what you
ought
to do? Let him study some Luke Jokel tape and learn how not to.
You're bad, Pete. You're bad.
More of your calls coming up. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. More of your calls coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Monday continues.
Is that the Alabama fight song?
It indeed is. I don't know why that got played. J.P. Shatter, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. The last meeting between Alabama and Southern Cal, 1985 Aloha Bowl.
Oh, they don't count. That's an exhibition game.
In seven meetings, Alabama 5-2 against Southern.
Yeah,
when was the last meeting?
But when it mattered, when it mattered for national titles.
When was the last meeting before 85?
79.
78 and 9, yeah.
Yeah, they went to Tuscaloosa and beat them.
Yep.
Probably went to Birmingham. They probably didn't. Yeah, Birmingham.
Yeah,
they played Legion Field.
Yeah.
And then they beat him in 71 or 72. That's Sam Bam Cunningham, 5-touchdown game.
It was 70.
70?
Legion Field might be one of the biggest dumps in the history of football.
Oh, it's garbage. Still is. Yeah. It's worse now. Yeah. They had to tear the upper deck down so it wouldn't collapse.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's bad. It's Nobody a bad, cares. Bad place. It'll be interesting to see. By the way, Alabama, you think Jacksonville would take Alabama's defensive line right now?
They're really good. Holy cow. How about that Robinson cat?
Let me ask you about him, though, because he's a big physical kid. Who is he? Is he Richard Seymour?
I don't know. He can play football, though. He's a big, you know, 3-4 defensive end. That's what he is. Or maybe a 3 technique. I don't know if he's quick enough to be a 1-gap 3 technique, but he's a 3-4 defensive end, I'll tell you that much.
The pass rushers who come off the bench are pretty darn good, too.
In the last 7 games since Ole Miss, and this is not a college football show, but I heard this today and I was so impressed. The last 7 games since Ole Miss, Alabama has given up 7 touchdowns on defense.
Well, 7 too many.
And the kid that's the down pass rusher, what's his name that puts his 57, he puts his hand on the ground and explodes.
Oh, I forget his name. I know who you're talking about.
Williams or whatever. Mm-hmm. That kid is the one. That kid's going to make a lot of money in the NFL. And then they bring 22 off the bench, and he can rush the passer.
Yeah, they're good. Let's just put it that way.
They're really good. They're really dominant. But, yeah, I mean, what Jacksonville's going to be picking, what, 7th now? Is that what
fifth,
it is?
Fifth.
They're going to get a good football player.
Well, let's finish these calls, and then, Pete, we'll go – instead of looking around the NFL too much, we'll spend a segment of let's go through the draft and kind of what we think is going to happen.
Okay.
So this is our last show doing it.
This is the last
until
show.
This is the last and final show.
It is indeed.
Until the podcast kicks off.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll do something during the Thursdays. Who knows?
Well, Pete, why don't you get the podcast going?
I like the teaser.
We're doing something Thursdays now?
I don't know. Are we?
No.
Apparently we might be.
No.
Let's go to the phone line.
Pete, get the podcast.
Chris on the west side. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Before I get my question, is this the last show until, what, August?
Yeah, until training camp, right?
Unless you demand more. Do you demand more?
I do demand more. We got to get that podcast going at least.
Call CBS and the Jaguars and demand more.
I called Dan Edwards. I mean, who else do I got to call?
Call Dan again.
Yeah. So that's our motto, actually. We want more, right?
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'll give you a cell number.
I have a draft question.
Yeah. What's up?
That's all right. No, thank you. I got a draft question for you. What would you rather have? Would you rather have a veteran free safety and a talented rookie, a pass rusher, or the other way around?
Veteran free safety and a talented rookie pass rusher.
Yes.
Why?
Why is that?
What's your question? Who you're referencing to?
I'm referencing the free safety from Florida State in the draft, and pick a pass rusher in the draft. Doesn't matter, but I'm also intrigued by that trade-off. Like, do we get an Eric Weddle? You know, that kind of a deal.
I think Eric Weddle would make a lot of sense for Jacksonville, in large part because I think they need somebody back there that can line guys up and get him in the right spot. And he can also still play for the next 3 years.
Does he run pretty well still, Pete?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's never been a great, you know, he's never been a burner, but he can cover the tight end and do all that other stuff. Yes, he can do all that stuff. Yeah. Yes. Okay. It makes sense for Jacksonville. Hmm. Particularly in a league where there aren't many free safeties that are worth a damn.
I guess the kid from Florida State that everyone's talking about,
Jalen Ramsey.
He's going to be a free safety in the pros?
Yeah.
He's not a corner?
No, I think he's going to play free safety and be a good one.
He's a heck of a football player.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
John on the south side. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. So I want to talk about Bradley a little bit and possibilities for next year. I know you guys were saying about Coughlin potentially being a consultant. And
no,
Bradley
we were not. Him. We were not saying that. Pete said that.
I think Pete brought it up. I think Pete mentioned it. And then you guys said, well, no, Coughlin wouldn't do that. But I think Coughlin would be a head coach. And I think Bradley's the one guy that would be the defensive coordinator for the Jags and take that demotion.
Not a chance in hell.
You just won, my friend, the dumbest call of the year. Congratulations.
He's won that award a couple times, I think. You've won that award before for us, haven't you?
If I'm congratulations.
You're won it like 3 times.
You're a repeat winner. I mean, you can step up to the mic and tell us why you keep on making
– Coach Coughlin or Bradley? It makes perfect
Coughlin
sense.
Coughlin is.
Well, first
Coughlin
of all,
is.
So you think Gus Bradley's going to say, sure, I'll take a demotion and let Tom be the head coach?
Then fire Bradley.
No, come on.
We got a chance to get Coughlin.
God, get out of here with that.
You can come home again, right? Isn't that what he's saying?
unreal.
Oh,
that is the dumbest call of the year. Leo in Mandarin. Well,
let's see if you can top it, Leo.
What's up, Leo?
Happy New Year, gentlemen. I would appreciate a little bit more credit than that, Tony Baselli, but that's all right. Happy New Year to you guys. Thanks for letting me on your program at the end of the season. I wanted to talk about, you guys were talking about earlier, if Bradley goes 9-7, because this is the talk of it. You know, what's the number? What's the magic number? Does he have to make the playoffs or bust? And not to disagree with you, Tony, but, you know, Pete brought up a good point about being 9-7. Now, answer me this. Say Gus Bradley goes 9-7. Well, let's say, I hope it doesn't happen, Chip Kelly goes to Tennessee, they end up 11-5, and they're worse than us this year. Tennessee can't be better than us next year, can they?
I guess they could if they win more games.
I mean, okay.
He's saying if they make the leap like that, if they make a leap like that and get to 11-5 and Jacksonville doesn't make the same kind of leap, can you give him a contract extension?
If he's in the playoffs, yes.
So, because, you know,
if he's in the playoffs. The only reason I'm having trouble with this, I look at, you know, I make the comparison with Washington because Jay Gruden in his second year, I think he has just about as many or more wins than Gus Bradley. And not to be mean to him, he went through a quarterback controversy. I know that defense is pretty good. But, you know, you guys sit here and talk all the time. We hear, you know, these guys coming out of the draft, they're like the best of the best. They're the 1%. You know, all the guys that in high school that don't make it and then the guys that go to college that don't make it to the NFL. It can't just all be the players. I mean, you see examples of coaches that come right in and it has success with. I mean, they fired Mike Shanahan, who was a Super Bowl winning coach.
Let me just say this real quick, Leo. And I've said this before, and everyone thinks I'm just making excuses, and I'm a Gus Bradley apologist and Dave Caldwell apologist and a Jaguar apologist. And maybe I am. But here's the reality. Go look at the last eight drafts before. Go look at the eight drafts before Gus and Dave got here. They were historically bad. There were no players.
You'll throw up. That's how bad
they were. They were awful. Some of the worst drafts in the history of the NFL. So the very core of that you try to build around does not exist in this franchise. Other franchises, although they don't win or hadn't been winning and made coaching changes, they did not miss on the draft like the Jaguars did for 8 years. I went and did it the other day. It's unbelievable. Go to Wikipedia and put in Jaguars draft and go through it.
Can't use that as a source.
Why?
I don't know. It's against the rules in school, right?
This isn't school, JP. I'm just saying go look at the draft. That's all I said.
Yeah, and you know, Atlanta's rival them in the last five years. If you look at theirs, theirs were bad too. So yeah, I agree with you, Tony. It's the drafts set the franchise way.
Let me just go over the first rounders. All right. And we'll start in 08, which that would be if you'd be a 7-year player, right? The 08 draft. So you're a 7-year player. Those are your core guys. This is just first round. I'm not even going in to the second and third round. In 08 is Derek Harvey. Not here, not in the league. The entire draft, by the way, isn't in the league or it isn't here. The whole draft, 08, nobody. 09, Eugene Monroe. Not here and probably won't be in Baltimore next year the way it went this year.
Well, he's got concussion issues.
Well, I'm just saying. Injuries, whatever reason. He's not here, though.
But let's put it this way. Right now, if he's on the field, he's better than Luke Fogle.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not going to argue that.
Okay.
10, Alu-Alu. 11, Gabbert. Not here. 12, Blackman. Not here. And then you get into Dave's drafts. You go before that. Williams, Jones, Lewis, Nelson, Harvey. Only one of those guys is here on this team right now. And my point is, and that's not even going in the second and third round, where guys aren't in the league.
They don't have any homegrown.
None.
Nothing. Nobody homegrown that can be a guy in the locker room and you know, people show up and he's the guy.
And I'm not saying Gus and Dave have been perfect. I'm not saying that Gus doesn't need to evaluate what they're doing and how they're doing it and just like he did last year on offense and look how much better they are.
Yeah, but Tony, did you see you were watching the game. I don't know if you were watching the game last Monday and Gruden kept going, how many Jacksonville Jaguar ex-Jaguars are there
I didn't get that. I mean, you could do that on every team, couldn't you?
Right, I agree.
I thought that was a dumb comment. And how many are there?
Of all the ones out there, the one that I think they blew it on was Brandon Marshall.
The linebacker.
I agree. Now, but he wasn't very good his first – but I agree you could have let him develop. Now – he got signed to the practice squad, and he worked his way off the practice squad in Denver, and is playing great football. So I agree with there. And the only other one I can think of –
I heard that might have been a Duffner.
Okay, then maybe it was. I don't know what happened there, and you're right. They missed it on that. Outside of that, Reggie Nelson maybe? But, I mean.
But part of that is because Reggie will be the first one to tell you that. He
got better when they got rid of him.
Yeah, well, he's an unrestricted free agent last year. Bring him back? He's kind of old.
Yeah, I don't know.
Playing well, though.
Pro Bowl. First Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
So I just don't – I mean, I thought Gruden's comment was ridiculous, number one. But whatever.
I mean, how many are there? Who else is out there? Darryl Smith.
And we've talked about this, I think, you know, in hindsight, you should have kept him.
Brandon
Terrence
Marshall, Darryl.
Terrence Knighton. He's not – I mean, who's better, Roy Miller or Terrence Knighton? Roy Miller.
Well, he won last year.
He was hurt all year last year.
Well, I mean, Pyro's played good last year for Denver, though.
Well, if he played so well, why did no one give him more than a one-year contract?
Because they knew he weighed
400
pounds.
That's my point. So it's not like it's this plethora of all these great players playing around the league.
Well, we sure as heck know there aren't any pass rushers out there that left. Because there aren't any. When was the last one that was in the building? Braggins?
Mincy? Jeremy Mincy?
Selvey?
Well, there's one. Mincy could help him.
Yeah, but he had some – that last year, he had some issues around. There were some –
Right.
There were some reasons not to get into it, but.
Yeah. George Selvey was here, too, right?
Yeah, but he's a rope. I mean, it's not like he's a 10-sack guy. He's got a handful of sacks.
Another name, yeah. You can play this game all night.
Okay, but now we got to fix it.
Well, let's come back and do that.
We'll fix it through the draft. That's what this group wants to do when we come back. Thanks for your calls all year long. Tony loved them, each and every one of them, in fact. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco for the final time of the 2015 season. The 2016 NFL Draft coming up at the end of April. It is that time, officially, to begin the pre-draft process. The Jaguars have the number 5 pick in the 2016 NFL Draft. Let's start, though, guys, with the immediate needs. What are your biggest needs?
Pass rusher, speed at linebacker, secondary help.
Yes. And maybe pass rusher, speed at linebacker, secondary help. I mean, you also got to consider what you're going to be doing in free agency first, too. I mean,
right, but I'm just saying that's their needs.
Yes, those are the blame. Wouldn't you agree, though, pass rusher, then secondary, and then safety, I mean, then speed.
Well,
then
you only get to pick one in the first round is my point.
Right. Okay, let's start. We'll go in how you would do it if you were building the team. You get free agency first. Of these guys.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do.
I'll give you the defensive
I'll be very end. Definitive tonight.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
No.
Wow.
He's having a surgery to work on his hand again.
Great. I don't want him.
Muhammad Wilkerson.
Had a pretty significant knee injury, they said, so no.
Justin Tuck, no. William Hayes, 30 years old, backup. I like him.
It depends if I
Jason Jones.
No.
Not for a backup?
No.
Okay. Well, Hardy can cross off that list.
No.
I'm just going down the list looking. Well, they made Adrian Claiborne look good a couple weeks ago. Maybe Olivier Vernon.
Yes.
25.
Yep.
Yep. He would. Malik Jackson.
Yep.
25. Derek Wolf.
The Bronco kid?
Yeah, he's played good this year.
Yeah.
25.
Tough guy. I like him.
Vinny Curry.
For the Eagles?
Yeah.
He flashes.
Yeah.
He's a three technique, though, isn't he? Or is he an outside guy?
I think he
can
do either.
Nickley goes to a three technique.
Oh, he doesn't. He can play outside. He plays outside.
Okay.
I
like him.
So those are your pass rushers at defense.
I would try to get one of them for sure.
You just
if
said
I get,
no.
What?
I mean, if Wilkerson's okay, and his knee's not, Wilkerson would be the guy, right?
Who?
Muhammad Wilkerson.
No, I'd go Vernon and Malik Jackson. I'd try to sign them both.
Okay. So then you get bigger and tougher up front, and that makes a lot of sense. Any of the speed linebackers out there, Trevathan, would you look?
Yes.
Look, yeah?
Yep. He'd be my nickel. Him and Telvin would be my nickel guys.
What about a guy like Lemieux? Long, athletic, plays for the – you know who he is on the Bengals?
Yep, I do.
What do you think of him?
I'd be intrigued.
Because he can run.
Yep, but so can Trey Vathan.
Yeah. Derek Johnson, nah, he's too old. He's 33.
Nope.
Von Miller won't be there. Bruce Irvin.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, those are about it for those guys. Now
so I would try to get those guys taken care of. I'd try to take care of that position in free agency based on what I'm looking on in the draft.
Two guys.
Yes.
And then corner, because there are corners in the free agency.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Tell me who.
Norman.
He's going to sign.
Prince Amukamara.
He's a good cover guy.
Yeah. He's 26, too.
I got to believe the Giants are going to sign him. They need all the help they can. I mean, they can get.
Trumaine Johnson from the Rams, who had a good year before he got hurt.
No.
Why?
Hurt.
Bad guy?
Hurt.
He's also got bad. He's not a great guy. Josh Norm. Janoris Jenkins.
He played pretty well.
Yeah. That one would intrigue me a little bit.
Okay, keep going.
That's about it.
Okay, go to safety. Weddle.
Casey Hayward, who's not worth the money.
Weddle will be free.
You're talking about free safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weddle.
Yes.
You got to look at it. You got to consider.
I said yes.
Eric Berry.
Can he play free? He's more of a box safety, isn't
he?
He's
played free this year. I think he's a free safety, but he could play either one.
All right, yes.
Reggie Nelson? No, too old.
You know what? For the right price, veteran guy come for a couple years. Made a Pro Bowl this year. I mean, he's doing something.
Yeah, he's 2 years older than Weddle, surprisingly. That doesn't seem like he would be, would it?
Yeah. I mean, for the right deal, short term, if I can't get Weddle, I'd be interested.
Okay. That's about it.
Okay. So let's go to the draft. Looking at this mock draft, and I think it's on – I think I got the one looking at Bleacher Report, I'll say, I think. I can't ever tell what these sites are. Yeah, Bleacher Report. It has Joey Bosa as the number one pick.
I think they would potentially draft a tackle there.
The Titans?
Yeah.
An offensive tackle?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they move – what's his name to the right tackle?
I thought Luan played. I think he's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I just they have issues on the line, but maybe. Well, okay, so let's put Bosa there.
Okay, they have the Browns taking Jared Goff,
which makes sense. That makes sense.
They have the San Diego Chargers taking Jalen Ramsey,
but it's awful high for a safety.
Okay,
isn't it?
I'm just saying what they have. I'm not saying.
I know. Okay.
Dallas Cowboys, I think this is way too high. They have them taking Jalen Smith, who just blew out three ligaments in his knee.
Yeah, and shouldn't have played in the game.
They're not going to take him at four.
No.
No. I mean, he has major surgery. They say he has a long haul in front of him. I mean, there's going to be major questions on his knee.
Right.
And he's an athletic linebacker. And if he
might not be as athletic.
He might not be as athletic. So, no, I do not. He's not going to. And then it has the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Vernon Hargraves.
Who had a horrible bowl game, by the way.
And watching him, I've seen him a couple times. I saw him in Alabama, too. He got beat deep in Alabama a couple times. I would not take him.
I don't know if he's fast enough. Okay. I want to see his 40 time.
Yeah, I don't think I'd take him.
I think the kid from Clemson's better.
Now, if Vernon Hargraves runs 4.3, then maybe I'd change my mind. But
I think the kid from Clemson might be the kind of guy that Jacksonville needs.
Okay, McKenzie Alexander.
Yes.
They have him at 12.
I think he's cocky, tough, physical, Florida kid. There's something about him.
Okay.
He to me, maybe intrigues me more than Hargraves.
Okay.
I haven't done the work on all these guys.
I haven't either. I'm only making the comment on Hargraves because I saw him in Alabama get beat.
Yeah, I haven't been all that impressed with him.
And he doesn't look very big to me.
No, he looks tiny.
Really small.
By the way, Pete, when's your first mock draft?
Don't rush me, but it's coming. I think I did 14 of them last year.
Oh,
so.
That's too many. At number six, they have the Ravens taking Laremy
Tunsil, who's the best offensive lineman, I think, in the draft.
Is he? I haven't seen him play. Is he good, Pete?
Yes, he's good.
Like dominant good?
No.
So you wouldn't take him if you're the Jags?
I would think about it. But what do you do with the left tackle that you got?
Boop. I don't know.
The Jaguars don't think they can.
I would not take an offensive lineman there. I would not. San Francisco, Paxton Lynch, quarterback.
Yeah, that might be high for him. But we've got to see how that process
Yeah, a lot
plays
of these
out.
Are going to change.
He was terrible last week against Auburn.
A lot of these are going to change. I'm just looking at DeForest Buckner, defensive end, Oregon, for the Miami Dolphins.
Now, he's an intriguing guy. He's an intriguing guy.
Is that the real big one?
Yeah. He's
big
a
athletic
good football
kid.
Player. Single, what's his number? I forget what his number is. But single,
like 9 or 8 or
yeah,
something like that.
He's a good player.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ronnie Stanley.
Second best tackle in the draft.
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
This guy does intrigue me. New York Giants, Miles Jack.
I think he's going to be a great player in the NFL.
I do too. And interesting choice he made. He's got a knee scope, if I'm not mistaken. And as soon as he got his knee scope, early in the year he said, I'm leaving, and left school. And basically,
yeah, I kind of like that.
I thought it was a Prisco move, because the article I read, at least, it sounded like if he could have rehabbed it and came back and played at the end of the year.
He decided to go rehab it and become ready for the NFL draft. I give him credit.
So
he's a good football player. Very good football player. Can do a lot of. Fast, athletic. That's exactly what they don't have.
Yep, I like Miles Jack.
I mean, 5 is high for that, though.
Well, yeah, but okay. Of the guys I've said so far. Let me read the guys ahead of him. Who are the guys ahead of him that you would take if they're there? Obviously, Joey Bosa. If he's there, you're taking
Ramsey.
Ramsey.
Right.
Okay, you wouldn't take Jared Goff. You're not
going to
take Jalen Smith.
I got to do more work on Buckner.
Hold on. You're not going to take Vernon Hargraves.
Maybe.
You take him instead of Miles Jack?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, I wouldn't either. You're not going to take Laremy Tunsil. We already agreed. You're not going to take Paxton Lynch. DeForest or Buckner, maybe.
Right.
So that's 3. You're not going to take Ronnie Stanley, and
well,
then it's Miles Jack.
I mentioned Mackenzie Alexander as a possibility.
Okay, Reggie Ragland?
I don't like Reggie Ragland. Call me, and that's just, I don't know, just watching him on the TV tape, there's something chubby about him.
All right, Mackenzie.
Am I wrong, JP?
No, you're, sounds about right.
Yeah, you're an Alabama fan. Of all the guys that are on that team, he gets a lot of attention, and all the other guys make the plays, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. Is he? I may be way off on this. Rolando McClain, is that similar?
Yeah. And you know, Rolando McClain never was great.
Right. He was a little
Hightower's. Hightower is really good for New England.
Right. But a little different build for him.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
All right. Then you got the. We'll just go through the defensive guys because I got your list called up. That Kem Dichie from Ole Miss has issues.
Yeah, you can't think
big
yeah.
issues.
Ogbah from Oklahoma State's a pass rusher. Von Bell had a terrible game in his bowl game. Bad.
Who's that?
The safety from Ohio State. That's Todd Bell's kid. Remember Todd Bell that played in the league way back in the day?
Yep.
Sua Cravens, the kid from your school at USC. Well, what is he?
I think he's a strong safety.
Or is he a weak side linebacker?
Maybe he's not very big.
No. The kid from Nebraska is intriguing, the big defensive tackle, Malik Collins. Where's number, what, 1, I think. Good player.
All right, let's do this, Pete. I pulled up a thing on CBS, Your Sports.
Right.
And top NFL draft prospects, defensive ends. Let's start there. Joey Bosa is 1.
Of course.
You're not going to get him. He'll be gone by 5. DeForest Buckner is number 2 from Oregon. 6'7", 290.
Yeah, he's
holy
a big
cow.
Kid. And he's better than the kid that went to the 49ers last year in the first round, too.
All right. Shaq Lawson, the defensive end from Clemson.
Got hurt last week. I don't know how bad it was.
I don't either. Emmanuel Ogbah.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State. 6'3", 275. I've never seen him play.
No, he played last week, and that would be good tape to get because he played Tunstall in the bowl game.
All right. So you need to get that. Jonathan Allen, defensive end from Alabama. 6'3". 283. I don't know what number he is.
But that kid, he's good. The other kid's good. Robinson.
He's a defensive tackle. So he's
and
not on this.
Reed, the other one. He's the other defensive tackle.
And then you get into Jonathan Bullard, who is a very good player.
I think Jonathan Bullard's a really good player.
I do too. 6'3", 283. They have him a first, second round pick. So
yeah. Yeah, not a top 5 pick. Not the guys that right now, if you looked at it, the guys they would consider with the top 5 would be Bosa if he was there, Jalen Ramsey.
He's not going to be there.
No, I know. Jalen Ramsey, Buckner, Jack, Alexander, those kind of guys. And then somebody will take a – I mean, look at the outside linebacker from Ohio State, Lee, the kid that declared for the draft. He's a good football player. I don't know if he's worth a number five pick, but he's a good football player.
Yeah, just real quick, and we're going to go to break. Jalen Ramsey, this is according to CBSSports.com, is the number 1 cornerback in the draft. The number two cornerback is McKenzie Alexander.
I told you. I've watched him enough that I really
like
him.
He is smaller than Vernon Hargraves. He's 5'10", 195. Vernon Hargraves, 5'11", 199.
Yeah, I bet you when Vernon Hargraves goes to the combine, he's more like 5'9".
2 inches difference.
Oh, you know how they are. They always put – McKenzie Alexander looks bigger than Vernon Hargraves.
Yeah, so
– McKenzie Alexander is one of those kids, and I don't know if – I like it, but he's a corner that'll get in your face. Remember the other night, the other day in the bowl, in the game, he was the one before the game that was barking at the
coach.
Yeah,
he is a barker.
Yeah, I don't mind that. They need
the number, the highest rated safety in the draft is Darian Thompson, free safety, Boise State, 6'2", 210, projected in the second round. Fifth year senior.
Yeah, that's a big free safety too, 6'2", 210. They need that, but. I still think you watched the Texans yesterday. Andre Howe, did you see him? He had the interception.
I did.
In the last 6 weeks, the kid's really become a good player back there, right?
Yes.
And you know what he was? He was a college corner. That's what you got to do to find a free safety. That's why Jalen Ramsey's got value. The modern free safety is a bigger corner that slides inside to play free safety, provided he can tackle.
Sure. And then, we'll go to break. We'll come back.
Well, it's another thing real quick. Weddle and McCourty were both corners at one point. Both of them.
Yeah.
That's true. We'll take our final timeout. We'll wrap this up and look around the National Football League as well. The final moments of Jaguars Monday for the season after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenaniaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday for the 2015 season. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. We look around the National Football League.
Before we do it real quick.
Okay.
Miles Jack had an ACL at the beginning of the year, Pete. That's why I missed all year. I don't know if I take a guy coming off an ACL.
Well, supposedly he's been
I'm just telling
much,
you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, ACLs aren't what they used to be.
Do you do like a Colvin and draft later if he's there?
He's not going to be there. Someone's going to take him top 10.
Somebody will take him in the first round is what, at some point.
This A'shaun Robinson cat, he is a big dude.
I go back to my theory on, reevaluating the defense, Tony. Where do they play him?
Yeah, I think you need speed. So I wouldn't – I think he might be a great player, but I would just worry about it.
So, okay, but so we just eliminated – you eliminated Miles Jack, eliminated Jalen Smith. Who are you taking?
I don't know. I'm eliminating everybody here.
DeForest Buckner? I don't know. He's not pure speed.
I don't know. We'll ask Dave.
We'll ask him tomorrow.
Well, he can't really understand who he's taking anyways because he
no,
doesn't
it's
know who
free
he's
agency.
Free agency.
The guy I want is Jalen Ramsey, but he's not going to be there.
He might. Dude, he might be.
Or Joey Bosa. Whew, he's a good player.
Joey Bosa would be the one that you would want.
He is a good player.
He isn't J.J. Watt, though. Let's stop that roll.
Let's go around the National Football League and take a look at Wild Card Weekend. Chiefs at the Texans. 4:35 kick on ESPN Saturday. Who you got, guys?
I like the Chiefs. I mean, they're more balanced. Very good defensively. They have an offense that can move the ball and score it, and I think they'll be able to – Andy Reid will have a good game plan, and I think they'll move it enough to beat the Texans.
I like the Texans. I think that defense is going to get after, Kansas City. Kansas City's offensive line isn't very good. Neither – Dwayne Brown not being around won't help the Texans either, but I just think that this is an opportunity for them to, get after them defensively. I don't think Kansas City's all that good. I think they've won a lot of games with a favorable schedule. I like the Texans.
Steelers at the Bengals, 8:15 CBS Saturday. Who you got, Pete?
McCarron's going to start. Doesn't look like Dalton's going to make it back. And that people automatically assume, okay, well, that's going to be the Steelers game. But the Steelers are one of those teams, when you watch them on defense, in the NFL there's open and then there's wide open. In the last eight games, the Steelers probably have had 10 to 12 times where a guy's been busted wide open. That doesn't happen that much in the NFL. So I think even without Andy Dalton. How ironic would it be that the Bengals win a playoff game without Andy Dalton?
Yeah, no D'Angelo Williams for the Steelers as well, probably.
Yeah. Do you need a running back with that team?
Yes.
Okay.
Seahawks at Vikings on Sunday, 105 NBC.
Who you got?
Well, the last time...
Seahawks.
Yeah, well, the last time Seattle went in there, they destroyed them. It's 38 to 10 or whatever, and he threw all over them. But that team did not have Harrison Smith, did not have Anthony Barr, did not have Linville Joseph, and this one will. So, to me, that's... I got to...
So you're going
to
pick the Vikings in?
No.
Yeah, I got to be a lot... Shut up.
It's going to be a lot closer game.
Packers, Redskins, quickly.
I like the Redskins. I'm doing that game for Westwood One. I'll be roaming the sidelines.
I'll be at Cincinnati, but I like the Packers in that game. Where are you the second week? Can you go to New England?
I'm in the booth in New England.
Oh, I'll be in New England too.
But I like the Redskins.
Maybe you're in my flight going up on Friday.
Possibly. I don't think the Packers are any good offensively, and they can't win, and they can't get open, and they can't protect. Besides that, they're great.
January 7th coming up. January 7th, before we get out of here, January 7th coming up. Big day for Mr. Baselli.
Yeah, you got a big announcement, right? What
we
got?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
That's the Hall of Fame.
That's in 2-3 days.
Yeah, we'll find out. We sure
you have any inside information?
I don't, but I told you I pulled a bunch of guys, and they're pretty honest with me. And to a man, a lot of them said that you were voted in. So I think you have a good chance, Tony.
It'll be interesting.
Didn't you have another announcement, Tony?
I'm getting ready to enter into a very exciting period of my life. I'm going to lose. My goal is to lose 50 pounds.
50? By when?
I don't know exact date, but over the next several months.
How?
I'm going to go on. I don't want to get into specifics, but you can follow me on Twitter. I'll be talking about the program. I'm going to be tweeting about it and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it at Tony Baselli. But it's a new program I'm going to be getting on. I'm going to start this week, and it should be.
Is it like a weight loss program?
Yes.
Like or exercise and diet program?
It's more diet, a little bit of exercise, but I'm going to greatly curtail. After beginning the season saying I'm going to just enjoy life and eat as much as I can.
El Gordo.
I've gained about 30 pounds this off season. I mean this season, during football season. So it's
football season.
Yeah, it's time to lose about 50.
I'm going to be with you. I'd love to know what you're going to be doing because I'd like
well,
to.
Well, follow me on Twitter and you'll get
Stop
it.
With it. Just send me a text. I want to know what the answer to that is.
You follow me, Pete. You look for my insight.
Yeah, I do. But I can't wait. So when do you start?
This week.
Okay, so next week if I see you in New England.
I will not be eating the clam chowder.
Will you be eating in the press box? That's
no.
What I'm
gonna... Well, I'm going to have to figure it out. I might be that guy, that weird guy that brings his own food.
You know what? I sometimes do that too, but then you see that food. I'm going to be with you, Tony. I got it too. I'm with you. No doubt.
I got to stop. None of my clothes fit, Pete. I am fat. I'm really fat. Sitting in the plane seat was uncomfortable, and I had no one next to me.
You got the ripple neck in the back too,
oh,
right?
I got the fat rolls kind of rolling over each other right now.
Oh, I know exactly
really
what you're talking
bad.
About.
It's bad.
Pete, it's been a fun year.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. We had a great time.
Let's go podcast it up, baby.
We'll work it out.
For Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli, Joe Fortunato, this is J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for listening all year long to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.